Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3, verse 10. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Our first gospel reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 to 16. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." And our second gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 37 to 43. He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." This is the word of the Lord.
Our speaker for today. Norm has been in pastoral ministry for over 50 years, and I heard today he has worked all over the world. I look forward to hearing about some of that. Norm was also instrumental in helping to start Circle Square Ranch, as well as helping numerous ministries over his years in ministry. When I read this about Circle Square Ranch, it dawned on me that years ago, Jarrett Schill and I took not only our local youth group, but the provincial youth group out to Circle Square Ranch. So what a neat thing to have to be able to be in the presence of somebody who was there right at the beginning, and how much fun I know that we had with the students or the kids that we were with. Over the last 4 years, Norm and his wife Joanne have been running Love Reigns, a horse-assisted ministry working from the Okanagan Adult and Teen Challenge property in partnership with Teen Challenge. As Mike said, this has also been beneficial to our Thrive After School kids, as they've benefited greatly from being able to go to Love Reigns weekly. So Norm, we welcome you. We look forward to hearing from you, and blessings upon you.
Thank you, Heather. Privileged to be with you this morning at Mountain View. I don't see Jason here, but thank you, Jason, for the invitation, and Pastor Emery, who's not here, to entrust us with this time with you. Praise God. Our God is so good and so faithful, and how he cares for all of his children and for all those who yet don't know what it means to be his children. His care, his love is amazing. His grace is amazing. His mercy is new every morning. His mercies, let me do that a little better. His mercies are new every morning, according to the word of the Lord. So next time somebody asks you, "Well, what's new today?" Say, "Well, I know this for sure. The mercies of the Lord are new today." Amen? It's true. There's many times I don't know what's new when somebody asks me that question, although I don't get asked it so much anymore, but I sure used to for some reason. And that was always my answer. Well, the mercy of God is new today. If there's nothing else new, I know the mercies of God are new, and his mercies are marvelous. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for your partnering with precious young people through the Thrive Ministry. What a joy it's been to have Jason Legg connect us to Thrive, and they have come last year. I'm not sure what the total number was, but maybe 850 visits or something like that, I would think, of the kids. And that, I'm not saying 850 individual kids, because some of those kids came 6 or 8 times. But some only came once. But what a joy it's been, and has already been said, I'm going to repeat that phrase, because this is true. We look at this as sowing seed in the most fertile ground that there is in the earth. That is the children. You cannot sow seed in a better soil. Got a wonderful little example sitting here watching me. Perfect soil is the child. Perfect soil. So we're going to look at that a little more. But there was powerful verses read this morning about sowing and good seed growing and producing a wonderful harvest for the Father. And also talked about there in Matthew the words of Jesus, how that Satan would sow weeds and they would produce those seeds, those weed seeds would produce awful weeds. And the angels are going to come and look after that. Wow. I have a sense that we've entered that last age harvest. Actually, Jesus said the end of the age. The harvest at the end of the age. There's a sense inside of me that says, I think we've entered that time. And we're going to see things unfolding before us that we've never seen. As the end of the age harvest takes place. I don't know how long that harvest will be. My friend Eldon is good eschatology. But it doesn't matter how long we have served the Lord and been taught and walked with God. There's still things. Let's wait and see. But I feel so deeply that we have entered that end of the age harvest. Maybe it's going to be years long, months long, decades long. I'm not sure. But it's an exciting time. And to be honest, I think in the history of man, it's the most exciting time that we've lived as a human race. The children are before us. Millions of them everywhere. All over the world, and their hearts are fertile. They need truth, because the truth will grow in their lives. Praise God. Samuel said, I love that verse of scripture. Samuel said, when God was speaking to him in the middle of the night, after Eli the priest said, well, Samuel, just say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And so when Samuel heard God's voice for the third time, he said, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And Samuel was listening. His life was changed forever, and he served God with all of his heart till the day he died. That kind of commitment can come from a 3-year-old. 4-year-old, 5-year-old, whatever. But when the commitment comes young because of the voice of the Lord and the child being instructed to listen and respond, wow. It not only changes that child's life, it can change a whole nation, and it can change nations. So that potential we're looking at again today for a few minutes. My wife Joanne is here. We have had this vision together. I shared with her the vision of starting 2 ranches before, one in Alberta, one in Saskatchewan, Circle Square, and another one for at-risk kids in Alberta, and then moved here after my late wife passed away, came here, married Joanne, and wasn't only a few months after married, I began to share with her a vision of, you know, I think Kelowna could use some horse-assisted ministry. God has created the horse to be a very special creature, to touch our hearts in a way that, I have to put it like this, it's like when we can introduce a gentle horse to a child, it's like I feel God accelerates something so precious from His own heart. And the word accelerates for me is key there. It's like He just kind of opens and speeds things up so that the heart on the inside, and it's not only with children, it works with adults too, but their hearts on the inside open and they kind of take a shortcut into sensing what God might want to say to them. So it's a beautiful thing. Joni, come. We've worked hard at getting this established and it's working. We don't have fancy facilities, but wow, we're excited about what God is doing in sowing seed.
I just want to give you a little insight into a typical, hi, just to see friends from my past and my, it's wonderful. I used to work with Edna. So good. 4 years ago now, we were blessed with this property up on the hill above Teen Challenge. And blessed is one way to look at it, and the hoarder's property that it was is another way to look at it. It was full of junk, and so we worked really hard to clean it. And we were getting closer and closer, and we knew we wanted to work with men in addiction, but we also knew that we wanted to reach out to the community and bring kids in. And so we weren't sure how to do the second part, but we worked hard and got this place cleaned up as much as we could. And then one day we got a call from Jenny Lee. She said, could we bring our Thrive kids? And it was like, this whole while we had prayed, God, open doors and close doors. We don't want to keep going on a path where that door is going to close. And so when this open door of Thrive was presented to us, we were thrilled. And we worked hard. This year, we've got Thrive Kids there Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And it is just a joy. I want to highlight the fact that we've got volunteers that have come to us and said, can I help? Can I help? Please, can I help? And you know, as we've got 7 horses and with 30 plus degree weather, it's hot for 4 hours, 5 hours a day out there. But with those 7 horses, we've usually got 8 volunteers. And so we can do our part. Spell somebody off, they can stand in the shade, they keep going, and we get all those kids through, everyone rides. What I love about up there is that they don't just ride. They get a Bible story with a life application. They get sing some songs, learn some new songs, and they just get an experience of God loving them. We pray with them at least twice a day. They all hear this gospel message that Jesus loves them and that their hearts can turn to Jesus and live eternally. And so we're thrilled about that. The men in addiction and Thrive Kids, they didn't really go together. But often the men will come up, those in the last part of their program, and help us as well. And it's good to see some of these men that come up there have kids of their own, but they haven't seen them for a long time. And it's very touching to them to be leading this horse with somebody else's kid on the back, just knowing that their heart is touched because, I'm doing what a father would do or hasn't gotten to do. So it's very touching to see that. One of the blessings for me is that this spring, we held a little course for kids that helped them through grief. I work at Springfield Home and I lead a grief support group there. And I've done that for a number of years. And when I started getting moms and grandmas come to me to say, what's out in our community for kids and grief? And I said, okay, I could do that. And then I got a phone call from Texas and they said, we've got a grief support class for kids. Are you interested? And then I got the request for it. And then I thought the horses, I would do this class if we could do it with horses. And so that happened in the spring. Linda, I'm going to pick you out of the crowd. Linda was one of those grandmas that came to me and said, I've got 3 grandkids that could use some help. They've lost a grandma and a grandpa. And another lady had come, and I thought, good, it's a small group. That's what I want to start. And so we did this in the spring. Those kids soared. They understood. Grandma and mom and dad and the other mom, they would come and they would listen too. And we would all work through this because they had all experienced it. They'd all been part of that grief. But just targeting the message to these kids was very precious. And so we're planning again for the fall. So if you know kids that could use that, please let me know. But we are just thrilled to be a part of this ministry now, because your support of Thrive and your support of Love Reigns and our support of Love Reigns and our heart for it, we're all in it together. Whatever happens up there is a blessing that extends to you. So I really appreciate what you are doing to support us and having us here today and listening to us. And I know Norm's got a good challenging messages for all of us.
Thank you, Joni. It's always a mystery to me to see how kids and even adults like myself will get moved by a horse. And I don't mean the movement of sitting on them and riding them. Actually, the other night I was wishing I could have done my message to a graduate. We had graduation for Teen Challenge just a couple nights ago. One of the guys graduated, and I used the illustration from Psalm 32 of how God will guide us with his eye. And he said, don't be like a horse or a mule that needs a bit and bridle. He wants us to have intimacy with him. He wants to look into the eyes of our heart so we see his wisdom, his love, his passion. But I had an amazing experience with a horse that I had bought just a few years back in Alberta. I brought the horse to the ranch that we had started and were directing. And he was a sweet little Arabian gelding, and I let him loose with the greeter of the herd. We had about 25 horses there, but there was one that just loved every horse that came and made sure that they were welcomed, and he'd spend the first night with that horse in a corral. And so I did that and gave him some grain, brushed him, and I had to get back to Edmonton for supper. And I left the corral, which was probably about as big as this room, and just as I put my hand on the gate, I heard a nicker, and I looked back, and the horse that I'd just bought and had been eating his grain was already trotting toward me. And the trot is the next speed after a walk. It's not a gallop, but he's coming right along. And I thought, boy, this is unusual. So I just stopped and stood there, and he came up to me, and I got a good lesson. He put his head into my body. His ears were right here, and he stood here, his face in my body, and pushed quite hard that I had to take one step back, and he wouldn't move. Some of you are already getting the message. What was he saying? He was saying, I'm 16 years old. I've never been off the farm I was born on. I don't belong here. Please take me home. I know that's what he was telling me. And the message was this, that I got downloaded from the Lord. Everybody wants to belong. Every child wants to belong. Every adult wants to belong. Everybody wants to be accepted, received, loved, and feel secure. A message from the horse world. And so here we have children across the street, in our community, across the city, across the nation, around the world. They're everywhere. Many with broken hearts. Yesterday, a grandma that volunteers with us regularly, she's also a neighbor to us, brought her little three-year-old little girl. Just a tiny little thing. Grandma had to go get something, and I was there alone with her. We're just, and a couple of horses beside us. And I got to talk to her, and I said, you know, I was only your age when I started riding. I was 3 years old. And she looked up at me, and she said, yeah, when I was younger, I used to ride too. And I thought, is she remembering when she was a little spirit in heaven with the Lord? Or where was she? Anyhow, she was trying to contribute to the conversation, I guess. Precious. So precious. I want to read a couple of verses before I'm done and draw this a little closer to our attention. At that time, this is Matthew 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Wow. I haven't got time to read all the verses about kids, but they're there. From Genesis to Revelation. And I don't know how many years ago it was, more out of conviction than anything, I just kind of said one day, okay, Lord, I think I see it, and I know some of the gifts and visions you've put in my heart. Here I am. Show me what to do. And he began to lay kids in my heart that I'd never seen or experienced before. At that time, I'd already been a youth pastor and had pastored a country church, city church, and thought, well, you know, I'm climbing up the ladder. And then he began to just kind of, I think he was doing a little bit like he was with Samuel that night, only Samuel was 3 years old. And I was already my late 20s. No, I was 30 past. Will you do this? And that was starting our first ranch. And it's been a marvelous journey. Some years later, and this is, I'm not sure how much time has gone by since this happened to me, but it did change my life. I was asked to come and be the speaker at a 9 to 11 year old camp in Manitoba. It was campfire night. As it was virtually every night, to gather around the campfire as long as the weather's okay. And that particular ranch had about 120 or 25 kids there every week. Large campfire area when you include the staff. And I had an unusual experience that I've never had before nor since. I was speaking to this group of kids, and as I spoke to them, God began to speak something to me which I was not saying to the kids. An amazing experience, and this is what he brought to my mind, what we just read. And he said something like this, I've given you the privilege of speaking to and ministering to the greatest people on earth. Then he said, from this night on, please don't look for the confirmation and the accolades of your peers. For you have had a privilege that few experience. Reaching the greatest people in the world. It went on. It was longer than that. But you have the idea. And at that moment, I realized, oh. When campfire was all done that night, some of the kids gave their life to Christ. We had a powerful time. But I had to have a visit with the Lord. And I knew there was things that I wanted to get settled in my heart. Tell him I was sorry for times when, yeah, I would love to have the accolades and the confirmations of my peers, and especially my senior peers. And then I realized, wow, God, you've been amazing. Privilege of touching kids. The most fertile hearts on earth. Matthew 19, then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And when he placed his hands on them, he went on from there. The most important ministry to the kids, it's all important. But D.L. Moody said something that I read years and years ago. Moody did a lot of traveling in those particular years, and I don't think he'd started pastoring yet in Chicago, if I remember the story right, but he was doing a lot of itinerant evangelism. And Moody had been out preaching almost every night, and he came in and saw a friend in the morning and said, well, how'd it go where you were last night? Were there any people that made decisions for Christ? And no, he said, was there any converts? Back in that day, they would say, did you have any converts? And Moody said, yes, I had 2.5. And his friend said, so you mean 2 adults and a child? No, Moody said, 2 children and 1 adult. Wow, the insight. 2 now could start walking with the Lord for the rest of their life. The other one, his life was half over. I've had the privilege of seeing seniors come to Christ. I have a saddle up at the ranch. If you come up there and want to see that saddle, please ask me. I'll show you it. But to quickly tell you this story, I was pastoring in Edmonton, and there was a lady in our congregation. Her name was Betty, and she was the daughter of the chief of police of Edmonton. Fred Sloan was the chief of police, and big, strong man, feared by cop and criminal alike. 6'4", stood for no guff from anybody. He was a horseman, always rode his horse in the Edmonton parade annually. But Fred got cancer, and he was dying in the hospital. And his daughter Betty came, and she said, Pastor Norm, my dad's dying. He is a rough, tough character. Nobody has ever been able to talk to him. But she said, would you go see him? I felt like she was saying, would you go see him so he can beat you up? But I said, sure, Betty, I'll go see him. If you make the arrangements, just so he knows, yeah, we did that. I walked into his room, and his his son-in-law Bill was with me, and Bill introduced me, and I thought, this isn't a time for visiting. I could see old Fred was just about done. He was maybe 60 years old. And big man, laying on his bed. And I said, Fred, we could visit about many things, but I think it's important if I ask you how your soul is. And he never responded. He just started crying. And I can still see the tears running down both sides of his face and dripping onto his pillow. I said, Fred, are you ready to meet the Lord? And he just shook his head. I said, would you like to be ready to meet the Lord? I said, can we pray? Yeah. He knew the way. He just never humbled himself enough to say, Lord Jesus, I need you. But that day he did. And about five or six, I wasn't able to get back to see him. 5 or 6 days later, he passed. But he told his wife, make sure that preacher over at Calvary Community gets my saddle. I still have it. I will not let it go. It's very sentimental. And every once, actually quite often, I get to tell that story real quick to a child that's riding on that saddle. And I said, you're so blessed because you're hearing the gospel here today. And I've told it so many times. Give your life to Jesus when you're young, before you burn out your life and you're on your deathbed. God's interested in souls. And the younger we can hear from the Lord, the better. And you precious people that support Thrive, Love Rains Ranch, whatever else you do to reach children anywhere in the world, it's good seed. Whatever we do to help a young mother, a grandmother, support people with kids, I feel we are doing the highest thing we can do to help someone take a step in the right direction, find Jesus, find life, and live in that life that God has ordained. We have a wonderful Father in heaven. He's perfect. He's so good. I've got to give you this one before I stop. And I do want to sing a song before I'm done. Eldon is going to forgive me. He said, you've got to sing some this morning. I'm going to get one song in. Eldon, my voice actually has not been working well at all for a couple of years. But we're going to get one in here this morning. I was talking to a bunch of kids that were all from troubled homes or foster homes or care group homes. Every one of them. About 60 kids. And I asked them some questions. I said, would you tell me what the perfect dad is like? They knew the answers. They covered all the bases. They told me exactly what a perfect dad would be like. And I asked them, do any of you have that kind of a dad? No, not one. I said, can I tell you something? I said, you have. And so do I. We all have that perfect father. But we do need to get to know him. And I introduced him to the Heavenly Father through Christ. One little boy started to cry. There was many starting to cry, but one really cried and went into sobbing. He was just loud and sobbing, and he couldn't stop. And we had to stay with him. And so the ranch director, myself, just stayed with him sitting on a campfire bench, and we just sat on each side of him praying quietly. And finally, after about a half hour, maybe longer. I don't know. I wasn't looking at my watch. He was able to collect himself, and he finally stopped sobbing. And we asked him what had happened in his life. He was 9 years old then, but he looked about 5 or 6. He didn't talk. He didn't eat. He didn't play. He didn't run. There was no smiles. Nothing. Just like a zombie. But he quickly told this story. He said, my mom and dad had separated, and dad was heavy in drugs and alcohol, but he would come and see us once in a while, and he picked my little sister up and myself, and he said, I was 6 and my little sister was 5, and he took us to a campground. And he said, I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw my dad was strangling my little sister. And he said, I ran out, I hollered at dad, and he grabbed a hunting knife and cut my throat. But he said, I was able to get out of the van, and I hollered, and people came and called the police. He said, my little sister died that night. And he said, I almost died, but they saved my life. They were able to stop the bleeding. And he said, I've only told this story to the police the first night. He said, I don't talk to anybody. But he said, I want God. He received Jesus that night and was set free. Next day was Wednesday. He'd come on Sunday. Wednesday morning, that little guy got busy at breakfast and ate like a trooper and started to play. And he had fun the whole week. Saturday, his mom come to pick him up. And we always ended the week with a little time with the horses and all the kids together doing fun stuff in the arena. And this young lady was standing at the corral, looking into the corral at the kids, just weeping. I didn't see her, but one of the staff did and went over to her and asked her if she was okay. She said, yeah. I'm okay. Chris is my son. And I haven't seen him smile or laugh in 3 years. What happened to him? Jesus showed up. The perfect father was able to touch a child. And so everywhere these kids are around us, keep sowing. Keep loving. It's a good soil of eternal value. Praise God. Look at His creation, at all the wonders we know. Wonder where He lives. Where's the house He calls home? Birds have trees they can nest in. Foxes have holes in the ground. But outside your heart, home for Him cannot be found. He's looking for a house, a place to call home. He likes company. He doesn't want to be alone. Let Him live in your heart, and His search will be through. It's not just any house, it was made for Him and you. You might be a beggar, without a dime to your name. Or a multimillionaire with the house of a king. He sees the past, your surroundings and the things you can hear. He looks on the heart, hopes it's a place where he can live. He's looking for a house, a place to call home. He likes company, he doesn't want to be alone. In your heart, and his search will be through. It's not just any house, it was made for him and you. Oh no, you're not just any house, you were made for him. And you. Amen. Thank you. I'd like us to pray together. Father, we're just so glad that you're our Father. For those of us who had a dad that loved you, told us and showed us, thank you. For those who never knew the love of an earthly father, you so desire to be their perfect dad. And maybe someone this morning is here and they still haven't experienced you, Father, as their heavenly Father through Christ. May that precious heart just open to you today and say, Lord, here's a house for you. Come and live in me. Wash me clean and just come and be my Lord. Be my Savior. Draw me to yourself. Fill me with your wisdom and your peace and your joy and your word in all of its goodness and truth. In the name of Jesus. We love you together, Father. We praise you. We say thank you for your faithfulness and your mercies that are new every morning. And we thank you for the opportunity of being able to love those around us and touch the lives of children. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening as we've shared our heart with you. God bless.